This morning, 2 Kings chapter 2. Children may be dismissed for junior church, so kids up to 11, you're welcome to go. Have fun with Mr. Daniel and Miss Victoria. But 2 Kings chapter 2, once again, I appreciate that. I know that's not maybe something we normally do, but I think it's good sometimes just to kind of calm ourselves and get kind of locked in and focused in on what the Lord has for us this morning. So 2 Kings chapter 2. And we're starting verse number 1, a little bit of a read, so I encourage you to follow along and try to picture in your mind's eye what's going on here. But 2 Kings chapter 2, and verse number 1, the Bible says this. It says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal, and Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away the master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee that a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this day, God. I want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. I want to thank you, Lord, for the blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. And God, what a great thing, salvation, what a great thing that even though we're sinners that deserve hell, that Lord, you loved us enough to give your son to die on a cross and shed his blood for our sins. And Lord, that we could be saved by a free gift, and Lord, that I don't have to try to work for it, and I don't have to try to keep it myself, but Lord, I have assurance in Jesus Christ, and I sure do thank you for that this morning. And God, as I come before you in prayer, Father, I come asking your help, and God, asking you to use me this morning. God, as I said before, Lord, this is a special time to hear from you. God, this is not a time where we gather together just to hear a man talk or just to see someone get up in front of others. Lord, we come to get something from your word. And I'm thankful, Lord, that we serve the true and living God, that we serve a God who does speak to us through his word and does show us what we need and can give us what we need, Father. And that, Lord, even though you run the universe and the earth and have so many things you could be focused on, you care enough about the folks gathered here this morning to look down at us and God meet with us and speak to our hearts. Thank you for that this morning, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, I don't want to be in the way of that this morning. God, I don't want anything that's inside of me to hinder you moving and speaking to these dear folks that had gathered here today at Faith Baptist Church. And so, Father, I pray right now that, Lord, you would please empty me of myself. God, get rid of my thoughts and my opinions and my words and my feelings. And Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your spirit, with your power, with your love, with your word, God, with your authority to preach with power the things that you've given to me, Lord, to give to these folks. And God, I really need you to do that. Lord, there's so many different people going through so many different things and in different aspects and different spots in their life. And God, I cannot in myself help anybody here. But Lord, I know that if Jesus Christ is lifted up, that if, Lord, you speak through me this morning to the hearts of these folks, God, that's what's going to give them the help that they need. And Lord, that's what I want today. And Lord, that's what I'm begging you for, God, for your power, for your help, Lord, for your spirit. God, I need you so very much. And so please, Lord, I do not deserve it. I am unworthy. But God, this is what you've called me to do. Lord, this is the opportunity that you've given me this morning. So I pray, God, because you are faithful to your word and because you're a good God, Father, would you please use me beyond myself to help these folks gathered here today. Lord, I love you. I thank you for being such a good God and a good Savior. Lord, you're so good to us and so good to me. Lord, I can't thank you enough. But Lord, I pray right now, Father, that you'd help me preach as a dying man to dying men. And I pray that you get the glory and praise and honor because you are the one and the only one that deserves it. And Lord, we pray all these things in the name that's above every name, the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we come here to 2 Kings chapter 2, and we find here this story about Elijah and about Elisha. And it's about the time where Elijah is going to be taken up into heaven. And we see here, it says that at the beginning of the passage, that the time's come for Elijah to go. It's time where God said, okay, Elijah, I'm done with you. It's time for you to come on up. And he even went in a crazy way, going up in a chariot of fire. That's quite a cool way to go. But he knows it's his time to go. And kind of as an introduction a little bit, I like Elisha's faithfulness in this passage. I like Elisha's dedication to the man that has been a leader and a mentor and who God has used in Elisha's life. You see here as they're going on from place to place and town to town. And keep in mind, this wasn't, they weren't driving, they weren't flying, like they were walking or taking a horse or taking a camel or something. And they come to three different places. And Elijah says to Elisha, he says, hey, it's my time to go. Tarry here and I'm going to go on. And Elisha says, nope. He says, where you go, I'm going to go. Where you're at, I'm going to be at. And even to the point, though, where the sons of the prophets come to Elisha and say, hey, don't you know God's going to take your master? Why don't you just stay here? And you know what Elisha says? He says, nope, I'm going to go and I'm going to be with a man God has put in my life to lead me and guide me and direct me. And folks, I think that's a good example for you and I today to be faithful to the people that God has set placed in our life, to the ones that have helped us, to the ones that have ministered to us. Hey, to our pastor today. Our pastor needs some men and some women to have his back and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be faithful to help, faithful to be there, help, faithful to lift you up as you try to serve God. Faith that's missing today, right? It's so easy to just give up and just quit. And when things get hard, it'd be so easy for Elijah to just say, you know what? That's a long trip and you're going to be gone. So do I really need to be there? Nope, I'm just going to stay back because that's more comfortable. No, Elijah says, I'm going to be with you till the end. I think that's a good example for us in our lives, whether that's a person God sent. Maybe that's the Lord, right? Maybe we need to have that attitude today that, you know what, I'm going to be with God till the end. No matter the distance, no matter the journey, no matter what happens, I'm going to be faithful till the end. But we find here that they go to the River Jordan, all right? And it's Elijah and Elisha. And we find as they go to this river that Elijah takes off his mantle, which was a coat or a cloak that he would have, and he smites the river. He smites it, and it says as he smites the water that the waters part. And they go hither and thither, and they walk along on dry ground, which is pretty crazy. Like, I'd give someone $5 if you could take my coat and go out to the little creek out here and smite it and have it part. Like, that doesn't happen every day. And so they go across, and as they stand there, Elijah asks Elisha, what do you want? And Elisha says, I want a double portion of your spirit. And Elisha says, I'll give that to you if you see me as I go up. And so God takes Elijah up into the clouds in this chariot of fire, and Elisha cries out, and because he's lost his master, he's lost the one that he's followed and been faithful to and has helped him so much. And then we see he finally, Elijah's mantle falls to the ground, and Elisha picks it up, and we find in verse number 14, he comes back, and he goes to the River Jordan. You know what Elisha does? He smites the waters with that same mantle, and he says this, he says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And what I believe that I see in this passage is that Elisha wanted to see the power of God. That as you look at what he was doing and what he was asking, he was not actually wondering, is God there? What's going on? No, I believe what he was saying is, hey, the God that I saw use my master,
And the God that I saw do great things, and the same God that smote that when Elijah smote the waters and he parted, where's that God now? I want to see your power, God. I want to see you do something with me in my life and part these waters just like you did for Elijah. Elisha wanted to see the power of God. Where is the Lord God of Elisha or Elijah? And can I ask you this morning, do you ever ask God to show you his power in your life? Do you ever have a moment in your life where you cry out, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And I'm not talking about this morning like, you know, do you go ask God, Lord, you know, when I go to the bank tomorrow, can I have $1 million in my bank account? Or as I go to work tomorrow, can my boss say, hey, I have a brand new 2025 Chevy Corvette to give you, and oh, that's the pipe. I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm not talking about selfish power. I'm not talking about trying to get something for ourselves. I'm talking about asking the Lord to use you in your life for his glory and honor. And not just use you, but I mean to do something great. To see God use you in such a way that, hey, somebody gets saved and their eternity is changed forever because now they're a child of God. Or maybe to encourage a Christian to change someone else's life. Or maybe one day you stand before God and you see so-and-so and they come up and say, hey, thank you for your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of you, that's why I am where I am today. That's why I chose to live God. That's for God. That's why I chose to be faithful. That's why I chose to do something for the Lord. Because I saw God's power in your life. When's the last time you asked for that? Man, what's the last time you simply asked God's power to be a Christian? Or to have a good attitude or a good spirit or for victory over sin or for victory over something you were struggling with in your life? I'm just trying to ask, when's the last time you said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Because the reality is that you and I need the power of God to live the Christian life. I mean, we need the power of God to start the Christian life, right? To be saved, we need the Lord. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I can't get to heaven by myself. I can't become a Christian or become saved by myself. I need the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 5, but when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For peradventure a righteous man would one die. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right? It doesn't say when we were good, when we could get to heaven, when we could be saved ourselves. No, when we had no hope, Christ made a way of salvation for us, and that's a great thing. I'm just trying to say, to start off your Christian life, you needed God's power. And you know what? To live the Christian life, you need God's power. To just simply be the Christian that God wants you to be. You know, to love the way God wants you to love, you need God's power. Amen. To have joy the way God wants you to have joy, you need God's power. To have peace the way God wants you to have peace, you need God's power. To be a witness like God wants you to be a witness for the Lord and tell others of Christ, you need God's power. To teach a Sunday school class or run junior church or have a ministry, you need God's power. Hey, for me to get up here and have a message that actually means something, that actually like touches your heart and helps you spiritually, is not just like, man, that guy talked for how long? I need God's power. For me to change someone else's life or for God to you, I need God's power and you need God's power. Do you realize this morning how much you need it? Keep your spot here in 2 Kings, but go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. To be the husband God wants you to be, you need God's power. To be the father God wants you to be, you need God's power. To be the wife or mother or son or daughter or grandparent or what, we need God's power. In John chapter 15, in verse number 3, this is Jesus speaking. He says this, he says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do what? Nothing. Do you realize what he was saying? Like, this is the Lord speaking. This is not Aaron Real. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples. He says, hey, without me ye can do nothing. I cannot be the Christian, I cannot be the pastor. I cannot be the servant of God. I cannot be the friend. I cannot be one day a husband or a father. I cannot be those things without the Lord's help in my life. To really be all that God wants me to be, to really be used of Him and make a difference in someone else's life, I need God. And guess what? So do you. And man, I think it'd be good for us to realize that today, how helpless we are without the Lord. To really make a difference for Christ. I mean, we can live this life, right? We can work a job. We can have a family. We can even kind of go to church and do some spirit. But I mean, to make a difference in eternity for the Lord. I mean, to get to heaven one day and God look at you and say, hey, well done now, good and faithful servant. Not you wasted your life with a bunch of nonsense or stuff that really didn't matter. We need God. You need God. And I think that would cause us, if we realize that, to ask a little bit more for God's power. To have some more times in our life where we come to God and say, okay, where is the Lord God of all? God, I need your help. God, I need your power because I know I'm nothing without you. Over in Psalms 127 and in verse number 1, the Bible says, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Do you understand in your life that no matter what your house is, unless God is the one that builds it, it's really ultimately in vain? The house of your family, the house of your marriage, the house of your ministry, the house of your Christian life, the house of whatever it is, unless the Lord's the one that builds it, unless you have His power and His strength, it's in vain. Because Brother Walt, maybe I can do some good things by myself, but I know who I am, and I know how things turn out, that I am the one that is in control of it. It's vain. It just turns to nothing. And you know what? If you're honest with yourself, you're the same boat as I am. Amen. We know what it's like when we try to put things together ourselves or do it in our own strength. We need the power of the Lord. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, the Bible says this. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You know what the Bible tells us? To be what? Strong in the Lord. Like, guess what? You and I need His power. Why? Because we have an enemy. In case you didn't realize that this morning, you have an enemy that hates you, the devil. So the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You have an enemy that hates your guts, that wants to ruin your life and ruin your marriage and ruin your children and ruin your testimony and ruin all the good things in your life. And you know what we need to overcome that? The power of the Lord. Because greater is He that is us than he that is in the world, but I'm not a match for the devil because I'm made of flesh. And look, that doesn't mean necessarily that all of us are out doing like, oh my goodness, we're doing like unmanageable things that we couldn't even speak. But you know why you struggle with pride? Because you're flesh and the devil. You know why you struggle with being selfish in your marriage or in your parenting or in your relationship? Because of the devil. You know why you struggle with lying or bitterness or anger or because we have an enemy that is trying to attack us and trying to get us to sin and do wrong. And so what do we need? We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And once again, yes, I think we've lost the focus today on doing great things for God and really saying, Lord, like, God, I want to see you use me in a great way to see lots of people saved or lots of people's lives changed or to make a difference in someone else's life. But we kind of forget that we need God's power just as much to live our day-to-day life. Thank you. To simply overcome the devil and overcome our flesh and have the fruits of the Spirit. All those, you know, those come from the Lord. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's where love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, temperance, faith, meekness, gentleness, that comes from the Lord's power and the Lord's strength. That doesn't come from us. You read the list there in Galatians 5 of the things that come from us, those aren't good things, the work of our flesh. Envyings and wrath and bitterness, all that kind of stuff. I'm just trying to get across this morning as we start off that whether it's some great spiritual thing or just simply your daily Christian life, you need the power of God. I need the power of God. And I think sometimes we forget how much we really need the Lord in our life. And once again, I ask you, when's the last time you asked for God's power in your life? I mean, when's the last time you asked for God to do something great? Once again, not get $1 million or get a fancy new car. I'm talking about, Lord, use me to change someone else's life for the gospel or for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great thing. That's an amazing thing. But when's the last time you simply woke up in the morning and said, Lord, would you give me the strength to be a good husband today? Lord, would you give me the strength to be a good mother today? Lord, would you give me the strength to, when I go to work and there's idiots that are annoying me and bothering me, to act the right way towards them and not yell and get mad and upset? I mean, but seriously, I can't be the only one that gets bothered by people, right? But I'm saying, when's the last time, Lord, you know I struggle with some bitterness. God, give me victory. Lord, I struggle with having faith. Lord, I struggle with doing the right thing. When's the last time you asked for the power of God? And going back to 2 Kings chapter 2, I just want to point out some things here about the power of God. Number one, in 2 Kings chapter 2, I'd like to say this. There was an example of the power of God. There was an example of the power of God. In verse number 8, the Bible says, "And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground." We see God's power in action. Once again, that's a miracle, right? I cannot go, and we just have a small little creek back behind the church here. I can't go take my jacket and smite it and expect it to part. Like, that doesn't happen. Right? I mean, we'll make a bet right now. You can give me $20 if you can't do it, and I'll give you $20 if you can't, right? But God did it. I mean, that was a river, and they walked over it on dry ground, an example of the power of God. And you know what? Before Elisha ever attempted to part the river Jordan, he saw Elijah do it. Did you ever think of that? Right, we come to the end of the passage and we see Elisha smites the water and it parts. But before he ever attempted to do that, before he ever thought about doing that, you know what he saw in Elijah's life? An example of the power of God. He saw God do something great in Elijah's life. He saw an example of God's power. Can I ask you this morning? Has anyone ever seen an example of God's power in your life? Is there anyone that would look at you in your life and say, you know what, I saw God do something great in their life, and I want that in my life? I'm not asking this morning, have you ever been an example of making a lot of money or having a lot of nice things? I'm not asking you this morning, are you an example of how to catch a big fish or how to shoot a big buck or how to be great at a certain sport? I love sports. That's not what I'm asking. I'm not asking if you've been an example of being involved politically and being an activist and making a change in politics. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of those things. But I'm asking this morning about what's important and what's actually going to make a difference in someone else's life. Have you ever been an example of the power of God? Where someone could look at you and say, man, God used them in a great way. I saw how they changed someone else's life and through a ministry or through a message or through a song or maybe in just being a faithful Christian, right? The power of God's not just for the preacher or just for the singer. It's for you as well. Where they would look at it and say, hey, you know what? They were faithful Christian and I want to be faithful like them. Man, they had a prayer life, and I saw them pray for things, and God answered prayer. I want to be like that man. When they were out in public, they were passing out tracts and witnessing to people, and I saw people get saved. I'm talking about being an example of the power of God. Could anyone say that about you this morning? Can I ask, has God ever used you to encourage someone else to do great things for God? You know what Elijah showed Elisha? God can do great things. God can perform miracles. God can do great things if you seek him and live for him. And Elisha said, hey, you know what? If that happened for Elijah, I want that. You know what I hope in my life? happens, Brother Lopatowski? That someone looks at Aaron Riddle and says, hey, you know what? God used him. And I know if God could use that crazy person from Pennsylvania that's really loud, I want that in my life. I want to be used of God. I want to see people get saved. I want to see Christians get encouraged. I want to see amazing things happen in my life because I know God can do it because God did it for so-and-so. Has God ever used you in someone else's life like that? Go, if you would, to Exodus chapter 33. Keep your spot here, but go to Exodus chapter 33. An example of the power of God. Because that's what's going to matter in eternity. How much money or things we have is going to mean squat when we stand before God one day. How big of a buck we shot, or how big of a fish we caught, or how good of a, I love hockey and I love football, but how good we could throw a football or shoot a hockey puck is not going to matter. What's going to matter is what we did for the Lord. That's what I want to be an example of. Exodus 33 and verse number 7. The Bible says this, it says, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. This is when Israel was going through the wilderness, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out of the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle when the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people that saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So here they're in the wilderness, and God sets up this place for his people to meet with him. And Moses sets up this tabernacle. And you know, it says everyone that sought after the Lord went to the tabernacle. And so that's where Moses spent time at, right? He was in this tabernacle, what? Talking with God. And that's a pretty amazing thing, especially in the Old Testament, where it says Moses talked with God face to face as a man talks with his friend. Like, that's pretty incredible. That's being pretty close with the Lord. That's an awesome thing. And you know what we find here that at the end of the verse, and I don't think the Lord puts anything in Scripture for just no reason. It says, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Joshua was Moses' minister, and so once again, Joshua pretty much followed Moses around wherever he went, right? He was his minister, he was his helper, in a sense he was kind of his servant. And you know what I believe happened? I believe Joshua, whether he got to see it or whether he was around, some way, shape, or form, Joshua knew the type of relationship that Moses had with God. And that was special. That wasn't just everybody got to talk face to face with God as Moses. Like, that was unique. That was an amazing thing. And you know why I believe Joshua didn't depart out of the tabernacle? Because he saw what happened in Moses' life and an example of that walk and relationship with God. And he said, you know what? I want to be like Moses. I want to have that relationship. And it says, whoever sought the Lord went to, and it says, he departed not out of the tabernacle. I think he was there saying, you know what, God? I want to talk with you and be close with you like Moses was. You know what we find in Joshua's life? He got that. Because when it was time for Moses to die, and he said, who are we going to have the next leader be? He said, hey, you know what? Choose Joshua, man in whom is the Spirit. And you see in Joshua's life that what happened? God spoke to Joshua. God would come to Joshua and speak to him and fellowship with him and give him right. Just like Moses. But where did that start? Moses. The example he was of what? That relationship with the Lord and being able to talk that way. And you know what I want? I want to be close with God to where someone else says, man, I want that kind of walk with God. And that relationship with God where, man, I can see God's hand upon Aaron and I can see God use Aaron and I can see the wisdom and understanding that Aaron has. Not because Aaron's that way. I'm not. But because he's close with God. When you look in the New Testament, I think it's about Peter and John. It says when they were preaching and then they were arrested, it says, and they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Right? When you get close to God, people notice. Right? God's a big God, and man, he starts to come out in different ways, amen, in your talk and your actions and how you live. I'm just trying, that's an example. Could someone say that about me? Could someone say that about you? Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And verse number 5, this is Paul speaking to this church at Thessalonica. And he says this, 1 Thessalonians 1, 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith, the God word, is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned unto God from idols to serve the living and true God." And Paul here talking to this church says, you know what, we came unto you, we preached the gospel, and guess what? We had the power of God. The gospel was preached, not in our words, not in understanding, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And what happened? Man, these Macedonian people got saved, and guess what? They got on fire for God. And they noticed how Paul lived and Paul having the power, and you know what he says? Hey, eventually you became examples to all these other churches of the power of God, of what it was like to have your life changed, because that's what happened to Paul, right? Paul was persecuting Christians at one point. He was persecuting the church of God, and God saved him and changed his life, and now he's doing something great for God. And he says in the end of verse number 9, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And what happened? Because they had an example of Paul and how Paul was used of God and had the power of God, they said, hey, we want that. And they started living for God and doing things for the Lord, and all of a sudden, they became examples to all these other churches of what it was like to live for God. I'm just trying to say an example of God's power, an example to someone else of what it means to be a Christian and to really live for God and to really be used of God. Does that happen in our lives? Because we still serve the same God. God hasn't lost his power. God hasn't lost his ability to do great things. God has not lost his ability to save souls or to use you to encourage another Christian. But you know what we've lost? Our example of that. That's not on the Lord, that's on us. And so can I ask you, are you passing along a mantle to someone? Right, just like Elijah had that mantle that got passed on to Elisha to smite the waters, it's kind of an example. Do you have anything that you're passing along to someone else that they can grab onto and say, hey, you know what, I want that, what they have. You know, I can think about some people in my life. I think about my dad. You know what my dad's passed on to me? A mantle of being faithful to God. So my dad's a pastor. You know what? He's been through some rough stuff, through some hard things, through some difficult things in the ministry. But you know what I've seen in my dad? Faithfulness. And the power of God, right? Because, I mean, I've seen him broken. I've seen my mom broken. I've seen him go through some hard times. But I've seen God's power in their life to get them through that. And you know what that makes me want to do? God, I want that mantle of faithfulness. God, I know it's not always going to be easy. I know it's going to be tough. I know it's going to be hard. But Lord, if my dad can be faithful, God, I know you can help me be faithful. I think about preachers and singers like Vince Massa and Buddy Blanco that I would go to meetings, revivals, and a camp meeting up in Connecticut. And you know what I saw? I would see Vince Massa get up, and he would preach the word of God with power. And it convicted me, and it convicted others. And you'd see the Lord move, and people would get help and convict. And you know what I said? Lord, I want to be used like that in my prayer. That's a mantle. I see Buddy Blanco get up and sing and rejoice in the Lord. And man, people start praising God and people get excited about the goodness of God because of Brother Buddy's music. And you know what I said? Lord, I want that mantle being used in my music. You know what? It's a mantle that I could take and say, God, if you can do that for someone else, God, I know you can do it for me. I think of George Mueller, who's a missionary long since gone, but over in England he was from Germany and then he lived in England, but he had orphanages, and I won't go through the whole story, but long story short, God used him in a great way to help people, but that man was a great man of faith, and how he would just give and trust the Lord that God would provide, and God time and time and time again provided and took care of him and supplied like in amazing ways. And you know, as a young man, what I said, I mean, I'm not even close to the faith of George Mueller, but God, if you can provide for George Mueller like that and do great, Lord, would you do great things in my life? God, would you help me to have some faith, be willing to give and not be self-centered and trust that if I give to you, that God, you'll take care of me. I'm just trying to talk this morning about a mantle, about something that someone can take from you, maybe when you're long gone, and say, hey, you know what? If God did this for them, okay, God, where's the Lord God of Elijah? I trust you can do it for me just like you did it for them. Are we passing on an example this morning, church, of the power of God? Amen. I'm afraid the reason why so many new Christians and why so many young people don't really have much of an interest or a desire to live for God or do great things for God is because they don't have an example of someone who's doing that. We're too worried about our finances and about our jobs and about our careers and about our sports and about our hobbies and about our politics and about all these other things. At once, there's nothing wrong, but that's our priority. And so you know what happens to the next generation? Guess what they're focused on? All those same things. Not, God, would you use me to change someone else's life for Jesus Christ? God, would you help me be the Christian that you want me to be? I'm not trying to be mean this morning. I'm just trying to say, where's our example at today? What are you being an example of? What kind of mantle are you passing along today? And so first off this morning, I see there was an example of the power of God. But secondly, back in 2 Kings chapter 2, I see that there was a desire for the power of God. A desire for the power of God. In verse number 9 of 2 Kings chapter 2, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee that a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And that's a pretty, like, cool question for someone to ask you, right? Like, that's pretty, like, hey, ask what you want and I'll give it to you. Like, there's a lot of things on my list that I'd probably be like, yeah, like this and like this, and like, right? But you know, we see what Elisha wanted. He wanted what Elijah had. He wanted the power of God on his life. You know what he tells Elijah? Not, I'll give me a bunch of money, give me a bunch of nice stuff, give me this thing. He says, give me a double portion of your spirit. The power that God has given you, his hand. Lord, Elisha, if I want a double portion. I want the power of God on my life. Can I ask you this morning? What do you have a desire for? And of course, I'm preaching this message, so we're thinking that. So of course, I want the power of God. But say I wasn't preaching this message, right? This is a random thing, and you had to really be honest. I wonder this morning, right, if we could have one of those little graphs, those little bar graphs above each of our heads on what our biggest desire is, and what if someone came to us and really, like if God came, like maybe to Solomon and said, hey, ask what you want, and I'll give it to you. And we can say what we want, and we can put on a show like we want, we can do all. But if we were genuinely honest and real about it, I wonder how many of us would actually say, you know what I want? I want the power of God on my life. I want God to use me to make a difference in someone else's life for Jesus Christ. Can I ask you this morning, how badly do you really want the power of God? Once again, we can all sit here, and I'm preaching a message on it, so we can all sit and say, oh, yeah, I want the power of God. And in a sense, like, kind of meet. But in the way we live and the way we pray and the way we act and the way we uphold ourselves, how many of us actually want the power of God and strive to get it? And I mean, like, really want it. Like, if it's the only thing we could get, if we could want God, I want your power. Keep your spot here. We go to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. And once again, I'm not talking about the power of God to be rich or the power of God to have nice things, the power of God to be pop. I'm talking about the power of God to make a difference in eternity for someone else's life. To help someone come to Christ, to help someone live for God, to be used of the Lord. Over here in Genesis chapter 32, in verse number 24, the Bible says this. The Bible says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go," this is the angel speaking, "for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou favor with God and with men, and hast prevailed. We come here to the story of Jacob. What happens? He wrestles with this person. He doesn't know who it is, but it ends up being the Lord. And he's like physically wrestling with God. And as they're wrestling, the Lord even touches the hollow of his thigh and it goes out of joint. So Jacob's even in pain, but he's wrestling. And the day's breaking. He says, hey, let me go. I'm done. And you know what Jacob cries out and says? I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm going to fight, I'm going to claw, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I get a blessing before I let you go. Can I ask this morning, where's our attitude in that way in Christianity? Where's our attitude of, God, I am going to pray and I'm going to wrestle and I'm going to fight until I know that you're going to bless me? I'm talking like in a mean way, but I'm talking about that kind of desire and that kind of fight. Lord, I've got this family member or this friend that needs to get saved, that's on their way to hell, and unless they accept Christ, they're going to burn forever for eternity. God, I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to cry, and I'm going to weep until, Lord, you give me an opportunity to witness to them so that maybe they can get saved. Lord, there's other Christians that are discouraged and downhearted and maybe about to quit. And Lord, I want to be used to help them live for God. God, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to quit praying. I'm not going to quit fighting, God, until I know I have your power to help them live for the Lord. God, I have my family, I have my wife, I have my husband, I have my children, and Lord, I know the devil's going after them, and I know this world's going after them, and I know the way of things, and it's hard to live for God, but God, I'm not going to quit praying, I'm not going to quit crying, I'm not going to quit wrestling until I know that I have your power and I have your help to be the dad, to be the mom, to be the son, that whatever that you need me to be to help my family. Lord, I have this ministry and this Sunday school class or this junior church or this Thursday night program, or I'm a preacher or I'm a singer. Whatever. God, I'm not going to let you go until I know I have your power. Where's that attitude in our Christianity today? You know what we do, if anything? Lord, bless this. Amen. And look, I'm not saying we always have to have this long drawn out. It's not this show. But we've lost our zeal and our passion and our desire for the power of God. Because if we had that genuine, man, I need this, I think we'd be a lot more like Jacob in saying, God, I'm not going to let you go until I know I have your power, until I know I have your help. And even fight through some pain to have it. That's what Jacob did, right? I mean, it wasn't just, okay, I'm wrestling and all, Lord, I'm in pain, so go ahead, I'm done. Now, no, even when he was in pain, I'm going to hang on. I'm afraid today in Christianity, we've kind of become wimps. And yeah, maybe we hear a message like this, and okay, yeah, I kind of want the power of God, and so okay, God, I'll kind of pray for it, and I'll kind of want it, but then something bad happens in our life, or the Lord has to put us through some fire or trials to get us to the point where we can have the power of God to refine us. Whoa, this is too, I'm done. This isn't what I signed up for. I can't be uncomfortable. I can't be in some pain. I can't go through some hardship for the power. It's not worth it. Isn't that how we act sometimes? Where's our desire at today for the power of God? You know, if we really understood its importance, I think we'd probably put more of an emphasis on getting it. And once again, I'm not trying to be one of those guys that, man, every day we should spend 5 hours in prayer just crying our eyes out because of this and that. But can I just be, can you? Yourself, and you don't have to answer, you don't say it out loud, but when's the last time you begged God for his power in your life? When's the last time you shed some tears because of a soul that was lost? Or because of someone that is struggling that you want to help? Or for your Sunday school kids? Or for your junior church class? Or for your patch club? Or for the members of your church? Or for the souls that were at Walmart, or for the souls that were at the gas station, or the souls at your school or at your college, or for your family, for your friends, where you really wanted it. And it was more than just a quick, okay, Lord, but no, like God, I want you to know I'm serious about this. And maybe you did some fasting, or maybe you just cried some of, Lord, I need your help. I need your power. Because once again, it's important, church. We're nothing without God's power. And once again, if I believed that more, I think I'd spend a little bit more time praying for it. A little bit more time crying for it. A little bit more time wrestling with God for it. Do we have the desire for God to do great things in our life? Over in Jeremiah 33:3, the Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And I know that's to Israel, but you know what? God can still do great things today. I mean, yeah, you read some of those old stories about some of the revivals that broke out in the United States and missionaries doing great things for God and people getting saved and revival. We still serve the same God. God can still save souls. God can still bring revival. God can still do great things. He hasn't changed, but you know what's changed? Our desire for it, because we're so distracted by all these other things in the world that, once again, aren't even bad or we shouldn't care about, but they just, that's what's more important. And then we wonder why Christianity's cold and why people aren't getting saved and why the Lord's not using us in anybody else's life. Why we just feel like, oh, well, it just Christianity's kind of met. You know why? Because we've lost our desire and are asking for it and are begging God, Lord, would you use me in some way? You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a missionary. God can use you just as a faithful member of Faith Baptist Church to change someone else's life for Christ. God can use you to lead your coworker to the Lord. God can use you to encourage your family member to live for God. God can use you just being encouraged. God can use you just as much as me or Pastor Cher or anybody else. But he uses people that have a desire for it. God didn't just come to Elisha and say, hey, you know what? You can part this water because just you asked for a bunch of money or for a bunch of stuff or for... No. He had the power of God on him because he asked for it. And because Elijah said, hey, that's a hard thing to ask, but you know what? If you watch me as I go up, you're going to have it. And guess what? He had it. There was a desire for the power of God. Number one, there was an example of the power of God. Number two, there was a desire for the power of God. And then lastly, this morning, there was faith in the power of God. There was faith in the power of God. In 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 14, a verse we read, it says, speaking of Elisha, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Faith in the power of God. Elisha believed that God could do for him what God did for Elijah. Yeah, there could have been the example of the power of God. There could even been the desire for the power of God for Elisha asking for it. But you know what Elisha had to do to actually see the power of God in his life? He had to go to that river and take that mantle and actually smite it and put his faith in the Lord that God would separate it. And I think, and there's, I mean, once again, like I wouldn't go to a river and expect if I hit it with my coat, it's going to part. And you read that everyone's kind of watching them, all the sons of the prophets. So, I mean, there's probably the aspect, how much of an idiot or loser am I going to look like if I'm over here just smacking this water off my coat? All these sons of the prophets are going to be like, what in the heck kind of crazy person is this? But you know what he had to have? The faith. That, hey, God did this for Elijah. And I've asked God for it and I've begged God for it. And so you know what? I believe that if God can do it for Elijah, God can do it for me. And so you know what? I'm going to put my faith in action and actually step out and trust that if I smite these waters, God's going to separate it. He had to have faith. Can I say this morning that we need Christians who have faith in the power of God? You know why a lot of times great things don't happen for God? Because Christians don't attempt great things for God. Because we're too scared of what if it doesn't work out? What if it doesn't happen? What if it fails in my face? What if it doesn't pan out the way I thought it would? What if I get embarrassed? What if it falls apart and we don't even try? We don't try to witness to our family member. We don't try to stand up and talk about the Lord. We don't try to do the things that God has taught because we don't have faith that God can actually do it. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm saying the struggles that I have sometimes with these things. Because guess what? When you look in Scripture, every time someone did something great for God, you know what they had to do? They had to step out in faith that, God, you're actually going to be able to do this. I mean, man, you think about Joshua and the children of Israel walking around Jericho. That's an amazing thing to simply walk around a big guarded city and the walls fall down flat. But you know what happened before that happened? Joshua had to have the backbone and faith to look at the Israelites and say, hey, guys, guess what we're going to do to take down this place? We're going to walk around it once for six days. And then on the seventh day, we're going to walk around it seven times. And then get this, we're going to yell at it. And it's going to fall down. Do you think it took some faith for Joshua to do that and tell the Israelites to do that? I think so. But guess what? Because he had faith, God did it. You look at Abraham. Hey, Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation of you, as much as the sand of the sea, but you know what I want you to do? I want you to just pack up all your stuff and just start walking. And I'll tell you where you're going to go. Well, what, like, nope, just start walking and go, and I'll let you know when you get there. That takes some faith. But you know what Abraham did? Okay, God. He took the step of faith, and God led him to the land, and God blessed him, and Israel came from him. As much as we get on Peter and all the dumb stuff he did something none of us ever did, walk on water, right? Hey, Lord, if it's you, bid me walk on the water, and I'll come. And I know he struggled with it, but he still took that step of faith, and guess what? Did something no one else except Christ has ever done before, walk on water. I'm just trying to say today that, you know what? We need to have the faith to do what God wants us to do. Because guess what? When you do have a desire for the power of God and it's real to you and you want it in your life, guess what? God's actually going to give you opportunities to see his power in your life. And that sounds great, but he will do it. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. I think God wants to show his power in our lives today. But you know what that means? That means you're going to have to come to a point in your life where you take a step of faith saying, okay, God, I'm going to trust that if I do this, you're going to take care of me and you're going to do what you said you would do. God, as scared to death as I am of what they may think, if I tell my family member or my coworker about Jesus, you know what? They need to be saved. And so, God, hey, I remember so-and-so telling me about the person they witnessed to and they got. So, God, I'm going to take a step of faith that you'll help me witness to them. Lord, I want to have the faith that you'll take care of me. And Lord, you have my finances. And God, you're going to, if I trust you, so you know what that means? Then God may say, hey, you know what? Give this money to this missionary. You're like, well, what? Right? You know what? Take the step of faith so that I can bless you in some amazing way that you look at and say, how in the world did God do that? And I'm thankful to say I've seen God do that in my life. Or I almost laugh anymore because I'm like, what in the world is this? Because God can do it. Hey, maybe it's okay teaching a Sunday school class or singing a special or preaching or whatever God, and you're scared to death. But you know what God says? Hey, that's what I have for you and that's what I want for you. You know what you need to do? Okay, God, take the step of faith. Because guess what? If you never take the mantle and you never smite the waters, they're never going to part. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that cometh to him must believe that he is and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I'm afraid a lot of times maybe we have Christians that have seen an example of the power of God and they have a desire for the power of God, but they don't have the faith to actually step out and say, okay, God, I'm going to actually smite these waters. As foolish as I may look, as not sure of what's going to happen, but Lord, I'm going to have faith that you told me to do this, that you want me to do this, and trust that you're going to take care of me. You know what you find? That Jesus never fails. That God never fails, that he's faithful. It may not always pan out exactly like you think it may, but God's way is perfect. And I can promise you, as David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. In my life, when I have stepped out in faith and said, okay, God, this is what you want me to be. This is what you want me to do. This is how you want me to live. And yes, it's hard. And yes, it's difficult. And yes, a lot of times my faith's tested when I've been faithful to smite the waters with the mantle and say, God, where's the Lord God? He's always been faithful to me. And I can promise you that he will be faithful to you. But you have to have faith. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And it's really cool because then you see this all kind of comes in circle then. And we could have a piano player come to the piano and we're going to wrap this up here. But you see that it started off with the example of God's power in Elijah's life. Well, then you see it kind of ends that an example of God's power was seen by others in Elisha's life. If you go back to 2 Kings chapter 2, in verse number 7, it says, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. So all these men are watching what's going on. They're looking and seeing what's happening with Elijah and Elisha and all this kind of stuff. And then you go down to verse number 14. He parts the waters in verse number 15. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. You know what happened because of Elisha's desire and Elisha's faith? God got to use him the same way that he used Elijah. That all these sons of the prophets got to look and say, hey, you know what? Just like God's power was on Elijah, God's power is on Elisha. And you know what? I think most of us this morning could look at some people in our lives, whether maybe they're still living or maybe they've passed on and we've lost some dear saints. And you know what we look at? We see how God used them. And we see God's power in their life and maybe how God touched your life through them. You know what the awesome thing is? God can use you the same way in someone else's life. God can let you be the one that someone else looks at and says, hey, you know what? I want to live for God because of them. I want to be used of God because of them. Man, I want the mantle that they have. But guess what? You need to have the desire and you need to have the faith. So how about it, Christian? Where's the Lord God of Elijah today? Where's the Christians that are going to pass on to the next generation of new Christians or the Christian young people that we have in our church that guess what? God is real and God can do great things and God can still change lives and God can still do miracles and God's power is still real. Where's the ones that they're going to look at and say, hey, yeah, I remember so-and-so. Maybe I didn't know too well, but they were in our church a long time ago and they passed on and had God's power. But you know what? I see now so-and-so in my church. They're faithful and they have a strong prayer life and they give and they lead people to Christ and they have the joy of the Lord and God's using them in great ways. Where are those people? And where's our desire for that? And so as I close this morning, I'd just like to ask, where is the power of God in our lives? And where are the people who want it? Because it doesn't just happen. It comes from those who want it and seek it and have faith in it. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes as the piano plays. If you need to do some business with the Lord this morning in your seat or up at the altar. And maybe this morning you need to just take some time to pray and say, God, I want your power in my life. Maybe it's something big. Maybe it's something not so big. I don't know. But there's something you say, God, I need you. God, I want to be used by you. God, I want someone else to see in me that God is real and God is strong and God still does great things. Lord, help me be an Elijah. Lord, help me be an Elisha. Or maybe there's something in your life this morning that God wants you to do, right? Maybe you've seen the example of God's power and there's been a part of you that wanted it. But maybe this morning you have to pray and say, God, give me the faith to take that mantle and smite the waters. And trust that you can do something great. And so whatever the Lord dealt about with you this morning, I encourage you to do some business with God. We need some Elijahs and we need some Elishas. There was an example of the power of God. There was a desire for the power of God. And there was faith in the power of God. As the piano plays, you do some business with the Lord. Father, we want to thank you this morning for your goodness to us. And Lord, thank you that you still have power, God. Lord, that you can still use us, and you can still help us, and you can still be there for us. And Lord, I pray, God, you would please just impress it in our heart that, God, people are dying and going to hell. And God, there are Christians that are by the droves falling away and discouraged and giving up and quitting. And God, we are in great need to see your power in this day and age. And that, Lord, you can use every single one of us in here this morning, God, to see people saved, to see Christians encouraged, to make a difference in someone's life. But God, we have to want it. We have to desire it. And so, Lord, I just pray that your word would accomplish its purpose. Lord, I pray that you would impress in our hearts, God, to want that power of God, to have faith that you can do great things and to smite the water with that mantle that you've given to us, God, of whatever it is. Thank you, Lord, for the examples you've put in our life and in my life, God, of people that had your power on them and were used of you. And I pray, Lord, you'd help raise up these folks of Faith Baptist Church, Lord, to be examples of the power of God. And so, Lord, as people get saved or new Christians or the young people growing up in our church, Lord, they would see that and they would want that. But, Lord, we need your power to do that and we need your help. So, God, I just pray that once again your word accomplished its purpose, that you'd be glorified through this, Lord, and that you would just stick that little phrase in our minds, where is the Lord God of Elijah, as we live our day and live our weeks and our years and all those things, God, to want your power and to be an example of it. So, Lord, we love you. Pray you dismiss us with your blessing. Pray you give us a good day. Bring us back safely to church tonight to hear what you have for us. Be with our pastor and his family as they're traveling back this week. Keep them safe. And so, Lord, we just love you and thank you. Give us a good rest this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being here this morning, everyone. You are all dismissed. Have a great day.